Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Barb Pello, and I'm a group director at InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that you could join us today for our webinar titled Redefining Values, Strategies for Capturing New Market Opportunities. And I want to give a special thanks to Canon Solutions America for sponsoring this webinar. You know, changing customer communication needs and demands have many service providers pursuing a broad array of offerings that extend way beyond print. What we're finding is that by adding these incremental services, print service providers can grow their customer bases, increase revenues, and enhance profits, as well as differentiate themselves from competitors in the marketplace. What we're going to do in this webinar is really focus on how service providers are redefining their businesses by adding new levels of value. And I'm delighted to be joined by two great speakers that have redefined their business models. The first is Don Eichmann, and he's the VP of Sales and Marketing at Alcom Printing. And the second is Bruce Mandel, and he's the president at Datamail. Before we get started, I do want to give you one quick reminder. If you didn't have a chance to look at the video played prior to the webinar, there is a widget on your console called Tips for Attendee. It's the blue one with the wrench on it, and you can click that widget to get more information if you need any additional assistance. Now, what we're going to be covering today is I'm going to talk for a few minutes about defining value add. We're going to then talk about what service providers are doing, and then you're going to hear from both Don and Bruce about how they've built out a true value-added business. And I'll wrap with a couple of recommendations and conclusions. What we're seeing is that these changing customer communications demands are causing printers, as I said, to expand services well beyond print. We recently did a study of printing impressions readers, and they're expanding their services well beyond ink and toner on paper. And what they told us was that they're experiencing between an 8 and a 10% boost in revenues, and they're winning those new customers. Now, one of the things that we did do is, and you'll hear from both, by the way, Don and Bruce, but each service provider is pursuing very different business models. Alcom and Datamail focus on different market segments, but they've continually added value over time and, as a result, improved their business models. Now, when we asked these 75 printing impressions print service providers what they were doing relative to offering value, what they said is basically they're adding additional print-related services, and you'll hear some of that from Don, including mailing, personalized communications, fulfillment, large format. And the result of the expansion of those print-related services was revenues that increased an average of 10.3%. We're also seeing a lot of emphasis on digital media services. And when we talked to those service providers, they included things like hosting websites, digital signage, and according to those respondents, their digital media services actually caused them to climb an average of 8.3%. We also saw a number of marketing services being added. They included things like design services, content creation and management, cross-media marketing. Respondents offering these services reported year-over-year growth of 8.3%. Now, with all that being said, what we're seeing is that the benefits of offering those print-related services are substantial. And what the respondents told us was that by investing in the right technology and developing campaigns to promote those services, that they were experiencing new revenue streams, they had a portfolio that they could cross-sell, and they were expanding their customer base. And that really aligns with those print-related services. When we asked them the other big benefit, what they told us was that the average number of new customers that they acquired in an annual basis through expansion of print services was 15.3, Digital media was 11, and they had 5.9 or almost 6 new customers as a result of expanding those marketing services. Basically, what they were looking at is how to add innovative and additional services that would help them both expand share of existing customers, but also attract those new customers. Now, adding any type of new service presents some hurdles that must be overcome. And we asked them about the challenges associated with offering those services, and they really ranged across a couple of key areas. One of the biggest challenges that they faced was determining their true costs. They wanted to understand, you know, what they should charge for those services, building out those accurate estimates, and standardizing pricing internally. And so those were areas where they were really trying to focus on what to do relative to pricing those value-added services. The other thing that we asked these customers was what actions they were taking to promote those new services. They'd made the investment in the technology, and what they said is, number one, once I've made that investment in the technology, what I need to do is I need to develop the campaigns to promote those services. They told us that promoting those new services was essential to their success, and they're using a lot of different promotional tools to ensure that those prospective buyers out there know, or prospective purchasers out there know who they are and what they do. And they're using things like trade shows and direct mail and other forms of traditional marketing, but they're also blending that with public relations, making sure that they've got a great website, networking, and educating customers through things like lunch and learns. The other big thing that they told us they were doing was they'd invested in training their staff. They said that in most instances, that was probably one of the most essential ingredients because those salespeople, those customer service managers, and even the operations departments talk to customers all day long. They're really, in a lot of instances, you're face to the customer, and they need to be able to articulate very, very clearly the value proposition that you deliver. Now, another major challenge is that the sales cycles for value-added services vary based on the complexity of the service and customer confidence in the print provider's ability to offer that services. Ancillary services that support print, like finishing and mailing and data prep or design, were reported to have relatively rapid sales cycles. As the complexity goes up, so does the sales cycle. But you have to keep in mind that the returns for those more complex offerings coincide with higher levels and higher rates of return. And so you need to make sure that there's a little patience as you add some of those more complex marketing services to your overall portfolio. It also says that you need to make sure that you've got reasonable goals and a good plan in place for your salespeople. Now, with that as a bit of backdrop relative to what's going on in the marketplace, I'm going to turn over to Don Eichmann. And what you'll hear is that Alcom has done an incredible job of building out a portfolio. And if you've got questions relative to the content that we're going through, what I would tell you is, you know, Don and Bruce will answer those, and I'll make sure that I ask them while they're speaking. So feel free to key in those questions in the chat window. So with that, take it away, Don.
Yeah, thank you, Barb. I appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to listen in. Thanks to Canon, too, for their support, and thank you to Bruce, my cohort here who's coming up next. So before any value strategy or business strategy can be implemented, there has to be a firm belief among employees to meet and support this value proposition. And I just want to tell you a quick 2-minute story about our evolving into that. Back in year 2000, we were roughly a $16 million company. In 2011, I think we all know what happened with the market and economy in general. Our business at that point, everyone's business, took a nosedive. Unfortunately, my business partner and CEO, his son and daughter were both lost in the 9/11 tragedy. So you can imagine the pressure on him, coupled with the fact that the economy was going in the tank. He basically came to us at the end of 2002 and said, listen, I'm going to exit. I'm going to do some other things. We perfectly understand that. At that time, we had lost, I'd say, $1 million in 2003. So we were basically playing handball against the gutter, and we had to really change our mindset and strategy. We were technically a production-oriented company, and we had to be a sales-driven company. So at that point in time, if you notice on the top of the left-hand of your screen there, we adopted a strategy and a brand that says, yes is the answer, now what's your question? Now, that's a wonderful statement, but to implement it from top to bottom was extreme challenge. But in order to get everybody on board to do the things that we wanted to do with value, it's important that you have the whole entire team. At that time, it was 160-some people. It took us about a year and a half to get that implemented, to get everybody on the same page. 2004 through 2008 were great. Our revenue grew to about $30 million at that point. And that wasn't by adding a lot of technology at that point. It was just simply getting everybody on the same page and creating a value proposition that was, yes is the answer, now what's your question? So, obviously, late 2009, the economy again took another hit. We went from roughly $30 million down to $20 million. But we still maintain that mantra, yes is the answer, now what's your question? So picking up from 2009 to 2014, you know, our revenue is roughly at $26 million at the moment. So I contribute a lot of our growth and success to good people and good employees and a good strategy as far as everyone on the same page with value in mind. Now, having said that, that's a little background of where we came from. I have my profile here. I'll skip over that for right this moment.
Hey, Don, I do have a question from the audience on that one. What did you do? What did you do internally to get everybody on the same page? How'd you do that?
It was rough. We basically adopted that mindset. We put in, you know, customer service levels, and really just adopted a company-wide mantra that we were going to service the customer no matter what it took, no matter what they asked, when they asked it, how they wanted us to do it, yes is the answer, we'll take care of it. So you can imagine what goes on in the company when you actually say that and do it. It created a great environment for people to do what they needed to do to service the end client, bottom line.
Okay, great.
I think I gave you a little bit of background about who Alcom was. I mean, basically, been in business since 1948. We have a large facility, 24/7, 110 employees at the moment. Now, as we go forward here, I mean, all printing companies, we all have equipment. And the key is to have good equipment, to have trained people to run it. But the key here is to adapt and grow with what the customer's needs are. And with commercial offset, non-heat set web printing, we were able to do that. They continue to do that to this day, keeping up-to-date equipment. Another area in which our customers drove us into was digital printing. That is an extremely relevant application nowadays. One-to-one marketing that needs high rate response rates, targeted marketing, relevant messaging, trackable results, all of that is needed in today's environment. So this value to Fortune 500 companies, small companies, to do short-run printing, variable printing, is paramount to our business and to service customers.
Don, I got one more question for you here. So are there specific vertical markets that you focus on? That's the first question. And then how many salespeople do you have, and how do they go out and articulate this value proposition? So vertical markets, and how do your salespeople articulate the value?
All right, the vertical markets, they grow with whoever we're talking to. I mean, everything you'll see here in the slide, I'm sure Bruce can contend to this, that the clients drive where we go. We learn with them. We have to investigate and learn. I mean, all the verticals that you'll see that both our company and Bruce's, we've, I'm sure, transformed into that and listened to the customers, created opportunities for everyone. The second question, as far as sales individuals, we call them solution providers. I mean, they got to be able to prospect. They got to be able to cold call, schedule appointments. They got to make presentations of the whole package that we have to offer. They have to be marketing people, strategy mindsets. They have to provide
clients. Where do you find those strategy mindset people, or are you training them?
We actually have one of those 3D printers that we're going to print some here, but no, I'm kidding. They're very tough to find. I mean, I think we have a very good program where we bring in young men and women and we teach them. We have a leadership program. It takes about a year and a half to get someone to learn, and they go out with myself and all some of the other sales reps and just learn. It's tough to find. Yeah, that's how it works.
Okay,
thanks. No problem. The next slide, you know, another vertical that we've been in is wide format printing. And I think that's also key to any company's strategy as far as their abilities to market themselves. So, again, this came out of a need that clients have. So we decided to put it in, experiment with it, and it's a great offering that we have in the company, i.e. another vertical market.
Just a quick question on this one, Don. We've seen a lot of uptake in the commercial print markets on wide format. How long have you been in the wide format side of the business? And what percent of it of your business is wide format today?
We've been in the wide format business for about a year.
Okay.
And that is probably, it's upwards of maybe 5 to 7% at the moment of our, but it grows, it's the biggest one of the biggest growth areas in our business, without a doubt. That and digital print is the two.
Just a question. In one of the areas that we talked about where we saw value add as a print-related service was wide format. Is it a pretty easy sales process relative to saying to your customers, oh, we can do that, and gaining that business?
It's not an easy sales process because, again, it's a learning curve for everyone in here as well. So
yeah.
I think a lot of potential users of wide format or clients, they need to be educated as well. So if we're not educated, we can't really relay that message to clients. So it takes a little while, but if you have it, it's definitely worth the while, without a doubt.
Okay.
I think direct mail as well. Direct mail has grown over the years. And, again, I'm glad to see and hear that I haven't seen a lack of mail in my mailbox in the past year or so. So that's good for everybody. I think that having or using direct mail as a business is certainly something that needs to be targeted. It needs to be a mix of a lot of things. Direct mail, short-run printing, digital printing, wide format. You have to really kind of mix it up as a company to make sure you're servicing properly. Again, I talk about direct mail. A lot of what we do here are short-run, variable data, direct mail pieces, which is a nice niche for us and a nice niche for all of our clients as well.
Don, one other question that just came in is, how do you educate your customers on the capabilities that you've got relative to the client base that you're dealing with?
We do a lot of email marketing. through the internet. We do a lot of on-site seminars, roughly six times a year. We bring them into the company, into our training room, and we hold informational-based seminars, usually with a theme, lunch usually served, et cetera. And, we teach and we consult about all those possibilities and changes in the environment, whether it be direct mail, wide format, digital, whatever it may be.
And is the customer uptake on coming to a seminar pretty good? Do you get a good turnout on
good. Them? Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, if you invite, 100 people, you might get 45, something like that. But it's pretty good. Yeah.
Good.
If you do it the right way and you market it the right way, everyone wants to know and learn about what's going on. It makes everybody's job easier.
And one of the other questions that came in is, what percentage of your business is direct mail today?
Direct mail is probably 25%. That encompasses the printing side of it, the variable imaging or the imaging of the product and the mailing as well. So, that's a slower growth for us, but it's definitely grown over the past 5 years without a doubt.
Okay. Thanks.
No problem. One of the things that, as a vertical, that's been extremely helpful to us in the selling process from, our solution provider selling is warehouse fulfillment and distribution. I think it's on your screen now. A lot of times we'll kind of reverse sell in related to we have warehouse space, we have pick and pack inventory, online inventory systems, which I'll get to in a second. But a lot of the time companies will have an issue with storage and managing that inventory. We'll say, sure, we could take care of inventory with all of these different attributes that we can offer. And, of course, if you store something and you pick and pack and fulfill something, it makes only sense to print it for the client and distribute it properly all over the world. So that's a very good vertical for us is warehouse fulfillment and distribution. Promotional products also, again, we got into that vertical about a year and a half ago. Again, with our inventory and inventory management systems, sure, I want print. Sure, I want business cards. But I also need my pipes distributed. I also need my promo items distributed. Hey, can you do that too? Of course. So we're into the promo business as well. And, again, we have people internally here that that run seminars internally for our employees and for our solution providers that also teach them how to sell this product and how to offer to the client base.
What's the customer uptake, Don, on the promotional product side of the business? Do you have a fair number of clients that are using that?
Yes, many. Many because, when in purchasing nowadays, a lot of the print, a lot of the pencils, a lot of the different buying structures come out of one department. So it's not just, in the old days, it used to be just print, and then someone else was buying promos, and someone else was buying paper products and pencils. Now it's all coming out of the same department, so you can imagine having a one source of availability of products that they can go to that just makes their job easier, and it creates a great opportunity.
And are you
one
really,
of the other?
I'm just going to ask a question. Are you really pitching to clients that you're that one-stop shop so they can, whatever you need, the concept of your yes, but have you got a lot of clients predicated on that set of value-added services where you've become a one-stop shop?
Yeah, I don't like to use one-stop shop, just like I don't like to use tchotchkes as a promotional thing. But, yeah,
right.
I mean, that is the 30-second elevator speech or the sales position that we take. But, again, it's all relative to what the needs are. An understanding, as you said earlier in the intro, understanding what the customers want. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. What do they want? What do they need? And we're able to fulfill whatever, avenue or vertical market that they need, no doubt about.
One other question that came in, and it's kind of an interesting one, but is, how do you compete on the promotional items when, you know, somebody can go online and potentially order them less expensively?
Yeah, good question. It's difficult. However, it's not difficult if you have all the inventory, you have all their printed products or non-printed products, you have their mail, you have their you know, mail being, you know, direct mail that goes out the door, you have their variable short run printing, all integrated into, if you look at the screen, all through a marketing supply chain mechanism, a web-based storefront, then it doesn't become a commodity anymore. It becomes, you know, something that you're fulfilling a need. They don't have to ship it anywhere. You're going to order it. You're going to store it for them, and their clients or their sales reps are just going to go online and order it. So it doesn't become a commodity anymore. Not to say we don't run into it, but there's a lot of times where it isn't commoditized that way. They want you to be the one source and take care of it for them.
Okay. And I have just – can you come back? How do you – we've got a couple questions on marketing and how you market these value-added services. And I mentioned early on that, you know, promotion was critical to your end customers. And it's more of a curiosity than anything else, but somebody asked, do you do anything with social media to create leads or awareness of Alcom for your salespeople?
Facebook, Twitter. We have a marketing department that tries to do that to the best of their ability, and they do a good job. And that's really kind of it. We, like I said, we do a lot of email campaigns. We run seminars. That's more local than national, but we just try to throw it out there as much as we can on the internet. A couple other things I didn't mention that I think are critical is the fact of, like, mobile applications, that type of services that we provide. So I think it's important that you also get into that avenue as well, website strategies, building of websites, mobile apps, that type of thing.
Okay. So you if a client comes to you, you can build out mobile apps for a client?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have that as part of our marketing department as well, web-based strategies, building websites, mobile apps, and consultation to how to achieve all that stuff as well.
Okay.
You have to have it. Again, it's all part of this value proposition. And again, we've grown into that. It's not something that we woke up one day and said, hey, we need to be in the mobile apps. It's something that we've been asked to do it. Why can't you do it? We want you to do it. And Bruce can attest to that. You just bite the bullet and say, okay, we're doing it. And then you run with it, and you stick to your concepts, and it works.
Okay. Two more quick questions for you, and then I'll turn over to Bruce. The first one is one of the folks asked, how many salespeople do you have today?
Yeah, I didn't answer that. We have about 10 sales individuals, and have you ever heard the term? It's an 80-20 rule. 80% of the revenue comes from 20% of the sales force. So, but that's just the way it is nowadays, it's hard to find good, qualified solution providers. But again, it has to come from inside, has to be taught, and we've taken that approach that we're going to teach somebody from who doesn't know anything about digital media or print and teach them how to do it. And that's probably, I think, the best way for anyone that wants to do it should be the proper way. Teach them. If you're successful, they're going to be successful.
And then one last question, and that is you clearly have a tremendous portfolio of services. How do you charge for the value add that you deliver to clients?
Well, I think charge is a relative term. I think that you must be a low-cost provider, and you must offer value. You have to have those two. And I think that with our, you know, yes is the answer, now what's your question, value proposition, and if others were to adopt the same methodology, you will see that you don't have to be a commoditized business. Printing doesn't have to be a commodity. It can be something that you are offering value. And I know for a fact that we were in those days back in the early 2000s when it was a commodity-driven business. But I think today, the more services you add, the more value you can offer, I think that you don't have to be commoditized without a doubt. But you have to back up what you say. You have to practice what you preach. So,
just a quick question. When you go to a client, Don, do you bundle, and I say this in a, but do you basically package that offering in terms of, you know, we'll do the web, your, you know, web-based marketing supply chain management and bundle it as a total offer? You package it up. Is that how you're doing it today?
Yeah, that's how we would want to start it, because it leads to everything under the sun as far as what you can produce for the client. Yeah, that's a good starting point. But some clients don't need the whole package. Again, it can be modular. You offer wide format, and if that's all you do for them, you do a great job at it, and you take care of it. But, yeah, that is the ultimate strategy, is to do everything for that particular client or business vertical. Absolutely.
Okay. Terrific. Well, thanks. And, again, if you've got other questions for Don, we've got a little time at the back end to ask additional questions. But now I'm going to move over to DataMail and Bruce Mandel. And it's a very different type of business. And so I'll let Bruce share with you what they're doing at DataMail today. Bruce, take it away.
Thanks, Barb. And Don, that was a great presentation, and congratulations on your business and your, with all your ups and downs, it's great to hear that you're up right now. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. And Barb, thanks for putting this together, and to Canon for sponsoring this. We're a big Canon shop, and they do great work, and we're happy to be here to talk. My name is Bruce Mandel. And I'm going to talk a little bit about DataMail in Newington, Connecticut, and hopefully take a few questions along the way. Don, I thought it was interesting with your slogan, yes is the answer. That's pretty much the, I think, the key to our business, is that we are client-focused. And as you said, you can't turn that on and off. Used to be in the past, I think companies were production oriented and schedules were driven by production, and now it's the reverse, and really clients are the key, and when they have a need, we have to find a way to meet it, and you have to have everyone in your company following that that model, and that's tough, but it's very doable. We started in 1971 in Connecticut, and we're a family-owned business. My mother and father started it and are still working here. We're pretty proud that we're debt-free and own all of our production facilities. It's funny, Don, you're talking about one-stop, and you're right. There's really no such thing as the one-stop, but we have bundled a lot of services under really two roofs, one in Newington and one in Windsor, Connecticut, and as our clients are wanting more and wanting it faster, it's made sense to add additional value services. We produce about 1.5 billion pieces of mail a year. We have around 500,000 square feet of production facilities and 800 employees. Following 2009, we went to a 24/7 type of environment, again, to hit schedules and really be there for our customers. We wanted to be utilizing every minute of every day to do that, and that was a change of culture, but it's been very successful. Our base is what you would think it would be if you look in your mailbox. We're a direct mail printer and letter shop. So financial services and insurance, retail, nonprofit, healthcare, telecom, publishing, we do all those industries. And obviously, again, if you look in your mailbox, the financial industry is a huge driver. And to Don's point, in 2009, when the financial industry and really the whole country took a big hit, we had to kind of look out to some different industries and try to balance ourselves a little better, and I think we have. Looking at our services, we've been adding to these services over the last 10, 15 years, everything ranging from creative to campaign optimization to more traditional web offset printing and sheet fed printing and converting, and I'll go into that a little bit more, data processing and personalization and now color variable personalization, letter shop services, which really have grown in terms of the types of services we provide there, commingling of mail, which lowers postage for our customers. It's also a value-added service that we can make some money on, too, providing the postage optimization and tracking mail, which as campaigns get more and more complex, the ability to track mail and provide value to our customers, whatever their needs may be, if they're going to do a trigger campaign or they're trying to balance their call centers, the tracking of mail today is a necessity, I believe.
Just a quick question, Bruce, that came in.
Yeah, Barb.
How have the customer demands changed in your mind over the last, 36 to 48 months in terms of demands for turnaround time and those kinds of things? What are you seeing in terms of changing customer demands and expectations?
Yeah, I see a huge change, and it's not just that the customer's expectations are changing, it's their programs are changing. They're getting much more complex, and the complexity pushes on a company like ourselves from an administrative standpoint, from a scheduling standpoint. Clients are going to want more things done in-house at one shop from a turnaround standpoint. And as things are more complex, potential quality control and issues, again, lead you towards more of a one-stop kind of shop. So I think it's really the complexity of the work is driving tighter schedules. I mean, obviously cost is always a factor, but also quality, again, when you have more and more complexity, quality becomes more difficult to manage. So I think those are some of the stresses that are being put on our industry, and how we respond to that I think will be very important in the next couple of years. I mean, mail is still, as Don said, very effective, and our clients continue to utilize it and get their ROI on it, but we're going to have to continue to improve in terms of our turnaround times, quality, and cost to keep this a key medium.
Great, thanks.
Going towards this idea of a single source or really internally at DataMail, we're structured that with one point of contact that comes in through account services, and then we manage all these different areas, whether it be print or the data center, production, quality control, get managed by the account services. We have around 40 folks in account services managing jobs every day. And if you compare that to our sales folk, I think Don said that he had around 10. We have 5 people in sales, and we do about $140 million in business. So the model is different, and it puts a lot on our account service team to be more than just traditional production liaisons. They really have a client-facing sales role, and I think it's one of the strengths of our business is that we've built account folks that our clients really rely on to get the job done for them, and that's key. That's key for us. Barb, you had mentioned what's happening in the last couple of years, and I talked a little bit about complexity. one of the things that we found and we just developed in the last 2 years is when we take on new accounts or even existing clients who have new programs, the onboarding process is much more difficult. And we've assigned individuals now full-time to onboard clients or major programs. And that's a big change for us. We had to add resources there. And I think it's important as we go forward, and again, as things get more and more complex, that there's a focus on the onboarding process. It's definitely where the biggest risk in a program occurs, is that first job you run. If you get it right and you set it up right, you certainly have a great chance of success in the future.
Bruce, that links to a question that just came in from one of our audience people. And it said, you know, you're doing these wonderful full-color variable print jobs, and clearly with high-speed inkjet that you've invested in, they become, you know, more economical and efficient. But then the marketer has to create more targeted and complex mail matrices. And does that create a bottleneck for you in programming and finishing and postal costs? And that kind of links to this onboarding process, I think.
Yeah, it's a good question. Actually, one thing that's very positive is that when you run variable color, and we have three Canon machines, two 2200s and a new 3900, when you're running that variable color, the actual programming that we do internally is using the same software as if it was just non-color, black, variable. So once the clients do deliver their matrices to us, and we've been running extremely complex matrices for years on the non-color black side, once it's delivered to us, it's the exact same process to create a color variable job. I think that's a big positive in our industry. Nevertheless, I think the trickier part is upstream and getting our clients and their marketers to really understand what they can do on the color variable side and how to build, how to understand their segmentation or what's driving their mailings and build their matrices, which we do a lot of work educating in that area.
Great. Thanks.
You're welcome. I think I skipped one. So we're talking about different value adds, and one area that we've seen a growth in is campaign optimization, some analytics. This is a situation where many of our clients, and we have pretty large Fortune 50 clients that have all kinds of resources for analytics. However, because trying to get speed to market and understanding their ROI, at times they'll call upon us to do their analysis because they know we're going to be quick, efficient, and we understand it very well. And that's been a growing business for us. So that's a spot where years ago, really we didn't play in, as these major corporations have, you know, a band of data analysts working for them. But again, with the speed and the complexity going on now in the industry, they need fast answers, our clients, in order to make changes to their campaigns. And we've built a team, a group, to give them that. So, you know, traditional print is alive, and we do it. We've added not just we have 6 roll-to-roll presses up to 10 colors, but in the last 2-3 years, we've added envelope printing and converting. And that was a value add, really, to tighten the schedules for our clients. We were, relying on outside vendors for converting, or maybe our clients are sending it into us, envelopes into us. And we felt that it was important to be able to manage and maintain those schedules. And that's really what drove us to the business. So more than trying to make some more money, it was more about controlling the schedules for our clients, which we felt would add to the overall value of the services that we provide. That was also true with cards, where we do plastic cards and paper cards. And again, trying to be able to provide things that go into the package for our clients. Our business model, we are not printing or creating envelopes for anyone outside of the work that we do here at DataMail. So, again, from a model standpoint, we have 5 salesmen. One of the reasons is we're not out selling commercial print anywhere we can. We're really selling into a mail package. The programming data processing, again, pretty standard. And what we've really been developing is more on the database management side. Personalization, for us, we like to provide options for our clients as they're thinking about different programs. We have 24 lasers, toner-based, mostly Osei, Canon, which are Mica and Duplex and 4 iGen 4s and, as I mentioned, 3 high-speed color variable printers from Canon. A lot of jobs come in, and we're not exactly sure what's going to be the best fit for our clients. And there's different factors that go into what equipment you use, at what cost, what's the price point for it. And it's nice to be able to do a bunch of quotes and do them in a bunch of different ways and provide the best option to our customer. On the letter shop side, we've added a lot of perfect match systems. Clients who are reading and writing and inkjetting onto their envelopes for a closed face, if they believe there's a increase in ROI, we have about 24 of those in-house now. So that's been a big growth. Again, listening to our customers, seeing where they're going and adding equipment to try to, you know, to make sure that we're there for them. Also, you know, speed to market, and Barb, you mentioned, you know, again, that change. We're doing more in line in terms of glue, folding, inkjet, self-mailers that you get in your mailbox today, thinking about ways to do more processes in one run. Still for our customers, probably close to 60 to 70% of their spend is postage. So if we can't provide a really great solution there, then we're not being as helpful as we should. We have a commingling operation in-house, so that's something that we brought on in the last couple years and added that service. That helps from a scheduling standpoint, but it really helps in terms of the cost of the postage for our clients. And it's an area of value-added service that you can make you know, some money at, which is great. Another large spend is logistics and freight. You know, everything that's moving out of here, I would say 80% of what we run is standard mail. So we're freighting it across the country, and depending on our relationships that we have, that's critical for our clients to, one, get them in home on time, hit their own in-home dates, but also, again, from a cost, we're in Hartford, Connecticut, and we have to have a lot of strategy put into our logistics in order to meet our clients' in-home dates. And then we want to be able to prove it and show it, and we've invested a lot in mail tracking, and giving visibility to our clients of where their mail is at all the time. I would say 90% of the mail that leaves our facility is tracked through the USPS, and that's just our clients getting more sophisticated about in-home dates and utilizing that data to build their next campaign. Barb, I'll wrap up, but one change we've seen in the industry is there's been a real focus on compliance and regulation, and we've had to go out and get certifications, SSAE 16 and PCI and additional insurance, and it certainly costs a lot of money, but it needs to be there as, again, to keep mail going for the next, hopefully next decade or two, at least for me. It's important that we're protecting our clients' data, and you need an investment to do that.
Yep.
But the good news is that also leads to an opportunity, which is to do a different type of mailings for us, which are what we call precision processing mailings, which are more compliance and regulatory and service mailings. It takes different equipment, different people, different mindset, but we're there, and it's actually one of the largest growing businesses that we have right now.
That's terrific. Now, I have a series of questions, but I wanted to make sure that you had a chance relative to making sure we got through the slides and those kinds of things. But the first question I've got is, and this is for you, Bruce, and I've got several, by the way, for Don in here, too. And, again, if you've got additional questions, please key them in. But does the increase in digital print output increase or negatively impact the cycle time for you?
Yeah, good question. So it's many, I would say about 30% of the customers that we have that utilize, especially the high-speed variable color, they're utilizing it to reduce cycle time.
Okay.
Because we're taking out the forms printing of the cycle, they can wait. So let's say they have a rate that they're waiting to give to their customers for a savings account, and the Fed's meeting on a Tuesday, they can wait till that last minute, hear the rate, make their choice, go right onto the digital equipment. So shortens the cycle.
Okay, great. Now, the other question that I got for you, Bruce, specifically was, do you, in some instances, offer templates so that you can assist marketers with graphic design and variable data placement of their or you know, like a template, so they know where to put the variable data in a specific direct mail piece?
Not really, Barb.
Okay.
We don't provide templates. Instead, we'll show samples. We'll show, and we'll have a conversation about. It's really full color variables, so there's no limitation.
Okay.
The number of variables doesn't increase your cost. You can go for it. It doesn't matter if you have 100 photographs per life cycle or 1,000. It's really more the communication process of getting them to understand how much freedom they actually have.
Okay, gotcha. Now, this is a question for both you and Don. One of the registrants asked this, and they said, what's your perspective on the volume of outsourcing today? Is it increasing or decreasing relative to the clients that you deal with? And I'm going to start with Don on this one. Don, are you seeing an increase in terms of the drive to outsource more print?
Absolutely, no doubt. Again, print's not the only thing they're outsourcing either. Again, that's one of the reasons why, you know, Bruce and I have been got into these certain verticals. Yes, it's being outsourced, no doubt about it. You know, implants are now shutting down. What used to be an implant for, like as Bruce said, a financial company, they're not doing it anymore. They're bending it out and they're outsourcing. So, yeah, I definitely do. Bruce, what do you think?
No, I totally agree with you, Don, and specifically to statements. A lot of our clients were doing the statements in-house, and they've now outsourced that. And, okay, we're not in the statement business per se, but there's a lot of mailings that are regulatory service compliance that the big statement houses don't want to do. It's not really their fit. And that's where our growth, one of our growth spots has been. So, yes, there is some outsourcing going on.
And I'll just add to that real quick. Yeah,
go ahead.
You know, Bruce, both of us have, you know, micro check printing as well. That's something that never, you know, at least I've been around, it was always done internally because of all the requirements, as Bruce said, of having secure data, secure sites, and so forth. So check printing, micro check printing is one area that I know is being outsourced more often, without a doubt.
Okay. Now, this question's for Bruce. Bruce, could you describe a little bit in more detail how you're doing precision processing? And that may be
that's
one-hour webinar in itself, but...
Yeah, that's... I want to listen to that one-hour webinar, but... so there's different levels of security and intensity to the processing that we provide, and it's really, again, a conversation with the client on what their needs are. You could be just protecting against doubles, or you could have true 100% accountability, including archiving of every PDF at the end of a machine. There's a gamut. There's four or five different options that we give to a client, and each option, you know, has a different cost to it, different time to it, may run different equipment. So there are options. It's not just one fit for all types of sensitive mailings. It is different equipment in terms of the standard direct mail inserting equipment. There's more cameras on it. There's more barcode readers, things of that nature.
Okay, thanks. And I have one specific question for you, Don. And somebody was looking at your website while you were speaking, and what they wanted to know is, what is a landfill-free enterprise designation? What does that mean?
That is a we have worked with the state, and this is crazy, but we recycle everything here. We have blue trash cans around for paper, for you know, bottles, cans, plastics, you name it, metals. So everything here goes into certain recyclable containers, and then everything here, metals are melted down and reused. Plastics are used and recycled. Nothing here from this facility goes into a landfill. We pay for it to be recycled in the proper way. So, yeah, it's a little weird. You know, we have some stipulations on the kinds of cars we are asked to drive, meaning high fuel efficient cars. So it's all part of our commitment to the environment and you know, sustainable green alliances with certain partnerships. So,
great, thanks. Well, I'm going to wrap up with just a couple of quick comments, and I want to first start by thanking Don and Bruce. But what you heard are two individuals that have been in business a long time, and they didn't get there overnight. And this happens to be one of my favorite quotes, and it says, "Overnight success takes years." And what we're seeing with providers is that as you add value, it's an evolution and not a revolution. And so, you know, Don and Bruce both started at a very specific point in their business, and they worked with their customers, and I like that scenario. They worked with their customers to successfully evolve their business and make it what it is today. And so what you've got to think about, and I think you've heard some very, very important messages from Bruce and Don, are it really starts with, when I'm looking at value, what are those customer needs? You've got to define your vision. You've got to take the time to build out that solid plan to drive and deliver more value add. And you've got to do what both Bruce and Don did, which is invest in both the right technologies and the right skills to deliver the right value to your customers. Now, if we didn't get to your questions or you've got one that you didn't have a chance to add, feel free to key it in the chat link, and we'd be delighted to respond. So with that, I'd like to again thank you for your time and attention today. Please take a minute to fill out our feedback survey. And again, you can download the webinar from the Printing Impressions website. And finally, again, thanks to Bruce and Don, and thanks to Canon Solutions America. Have a great rest of the day.